Welcome back to the first team, Joe DeLeon, Ryan Roberts. Today we're doing another scouting report episode. We're breaking down two of the top safeties in the 2025 NFL draft, part of summer scouting, that being Malachi Starks from Georgia and Kevin Winston Jr. from Penn State. Ryan, let's get right into it, talking about a guy that I'm very juiced up about, a guy that I know that you're very juiced up about, one of the best players in the 2025 NFL draft, and will certainly be featured at the top of the class when we put out our final big board. Malachi Starks is rare, man. This dude can do some crazy, crazy stuff that you don't see from a guy that he's listed at 6'1", 205. Big frame, can fly all over the field. We'll get into the details. Any background you can give our listeners before we do that?
I mean, he's like one of the most boring background kids of all time. He went to Jefferson High School in the state of Georgia. He stayed in state to play for the hometown Bulldogs because five-star by three different platforms, Joe. He was a five-star number four overall player in the 2022 recruiting class by 247 Sports, five-star by ESPN, five-star by On3. The lone exception was Rivals. That had him as a four-star and the number 62 overall player in the class. So they were a little bit lower compared to everybody else. But he was a five-star consensus across the board otherwise. Big-time track athlete as well, which I think translates a little bit. He was a 10-5, 500-meter runner, but he was also a state champion in the long jump. 24-foot, 9-inch long jumper coming out of Jefferson. And Joe, he was an option quarterback in high school, man. Option quarterback.
Oh, I love that. I did not know that part. Yes.
He was an option quarterback.
Way to tie it all together.
State champion for the Jefferson team as well. I think won state championships in football and track and field during his Jefferson career. So, number 10 overall player, five-star option quarterback, track star. That is Malachi Starks coming out of the state of Georgia.
Yeah, no shock hearing about his background. He was one of these guys that, you know, ends up at Georgia, was highly recruited, and he was highly recruited for a reason. Only listed at 6'1", but I think what's pretty notable, Ryan, he's pretty long. He's got great, great length. And then you mentioned the track athleticism. It shows up on tape. He is able to be a true sideline to sideline safety, but I think what makes him so rare as a prospect, Ryan,
yep,
is that he's got the frame to play in the box. He's got the frame of that we typically see with a strong safety. So he's this multiplicative. I don't know why that didn't. I woke up at five this morning. That word did not come out as I was hoping.
You always have a lot of excuses for why you mess up on stuff. It's pretty funny.
I only make the excuses when I mess up, and usually when I make the excuses, it's because I woke up at five in the morning and it is late now.
You know, I'm tired. You know who is also up at five in the morning, Joe, with a child?
Yeah, that's an excuse.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. Well, you can make the excuse if you make a mistake. It's okay.
No, I don't want to. People are forgiving. I don't make excuses because grinders don't make excuses, sir. They don't make them.
To refocus on Starks, he is able to wear multiple hats within a defense because of the size speed combination that he brings to the position. I think that what he displays in coverage, just this rare fluidness to stick with guys very easily. He's got to get the length to come up and attack the ball in the air. And I wouldn't necessarily classify him as like a super, super dominant run defender. I don't know if he brings the power that he has behind his pads as much as he could, but he's a really good tackler. You know, he flies downfield and comes down hard. And when he takes the right angle, he can make a really, really easy, consistent play and limit any yards after contact.
Yeah.
This guy does everything. It's the simplest way to put it. He does everything so, so well.
So his first game of the year, he had this crazy interception, which I think was off of a post-wheel combination where he ran with the wheel on the inside. But from the broadcast copy, not watching all 22, I thought he was a corner at first because it was just so natural how he turned and ran and speed turned and flipped his hips and located the football and came down with the interception, Joe. And I remember I was actually texting the Wrens, dude, and I was like, dude, I don't know who 24 is for Georgia, but like, holy smokes, he just made a crazy play. And I joked at the time and I was like, I don't need to see anything more from this kid. That kid's a first round pick guaranteed. And I was clearly joking at the time, but looking back on it, I was right. I mean, like, that's just what it was, dude. He is that story is to showcase. This is a once in a generation. I don't want to call him a generational player yet, but he might be a generational player.
We're only donning that on a couple guys a year, and I don't think it's unfair. I think it's necessary for talking about a safety, especially because we're in an era where safeties, for whatever reason, are not getting paid, and they're also not getting drafted very highly, which might impact his draft stock. We'll talk about that in a second, but I think it is perfectly necessary to bring up when we're talking about him, because he's very, very rare that he's worthy of going in the top 10.
He has rare coverage skills. He is the best coverage safety that I think has come out in quite a long time. I mean, when you talk about him versus like a Kyle Hamilton, that's an interesting debate, because Kyle Hamilton is such a unique size profile and everything, right? That's what makes him a rare player. This is a young man that, whether he's playing middle of the field, he's playing too high, he's playing some man coverage, he's working from off, like, there is just rare coverage upside. This kid could legitimately be a corner if he wanted to be, and probably a good one on the NFL level, but it's just the fact that he is such a matchup nightmare on the back end for defense, because he can do everything. He really can. This is one of those guys, Joe, that when we get into, obviously, the areas of weakness or areas of improvement conversation here, it's a very short list, man. Like, this is where we find the guys every single year that we call no-brainers or don't overthink them guys, right? Malachi Starks is one of them this year. If his grade stays after the season what it is now, he's the highest graded safety I've ever had in my career so far. This kid is just a player that does everything well, and he makes it look so easy. I think you also at times can underestimate how good of an athlete he is. Cause again, this is a 24.9 long jumper in high school, a 10,500 meter runner. Like, this kid's going to do some freaky stuff when we get to the testing period of this conversation as well. And at 6'1", 205 pounds, my leading question would be to anyone out there: if you don't like Malachi Starks, why? What's the weakness that you see glaring? Cause you could always improve technical stuff. And sure, is there more consistency of angles at times that needs to be needed? Sure. Is there maybe playing the football all the time consistently in the air? Fine. But like, that's minute stuff is so easily correctable and fixable, because this is a 20-year-old young man that best football is still in front of him. I think if you have doubts about Malachi Starks as being a really good player on the next level, I think you're overthinking this one, man, because he just does not have many glaring weaknesses, if any at all.
Well, you underestimate. You underestimate and give a lot of credit to some of the mouth breathers out there that are going to find ways to over-evaluate this kid. And it's already happened. I mean, I've posted clips and I've got people quote tweeting with just insane things to like knock him for. I think somebody quote tweeted me and was like, oh, he needs to improve as a run defender. Or I'm going to find this, because
I thought he said like a processor or something, right? Like, wasn't it something with like his instincts or something? Like, I thought it was like processing instincts or some weird jargon like that. I don't know, man. I saw clean in pretty much everything he did, and plus in just about everything as well. Like,
somebody said he needs to develop his play recognition. That's to be careful about his overcommitment. But he's absolutely a top prospect. So this person, I'm not going to give him credit, but this person did say they were a top prospect. But I just think that that's it's like what you talked about. When we have a player that's this good, for some weird reason, a lot of the general public and other analysts, quotation marks, love to do this bit where they have to nitpick. They, for some reason, go, well, I don't know if I see anything wrong with him, and I have to find something wrong. Guys, it's okay to admit that a player is really well-rounded. It's okay to say that.
Well, I think that for a lot of people, and again, I'm not going to call people clickbait, but saying that a player is that good and a generational type of player, it doesn't give clicks, right? Like, the clicks is to be different than someone else's
evaluation. You say that now, but that's going to be in the title of this YouTube video.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh. But I mean, I just think that some people would like to be different, because that generates people reacting to it, right? And that reaction is what drives up viewership, right? And I get that. I fully understand. But I am a evaluator that takes this very seriously, that doesn't like to just paint an improper picture or a false narrative around a player. Malachi Starks is about as easy as an evaluation as I have had. Actually, he might be the easiest evaluation, him or Will Johnson so far, where I'm just like, guys, I don't know what I'm overthinking here. Like, I really don't. If there's anything in the weakness column, it is just small technical things that you need to be a little bit more proficient on the next level when things get a little faster, a little bit tighter windows, that type of stuff. When I'm talking about the...
But this is a true junior that we're talking about.
20 years old. He's only 20 years old right now. So, we're talking about him like he's a five-year NFL vet, but that's how far along and how advanced he is, man. Like, he's just rare in just about everything he does.
To wrap him up in a bow before we get to the next guy, I really don't think that, one, there's going to be a world where he slips. I think... Two, he will be one of these players that his position is going to impact where he gets picked. I compared a little bit with Will Johnson to Brock Bowers, and I'm going to make this comparison even further with Malachi Starks. He is good enough to go in the top five, but we are just not in a modern version of the NFL that teams are willing to do that. I think throughout this process from this week, the minute that we're talking about him forward until the pick is in at the end of April in 2025, we're going to talk about him as one of the best prospects in the class. And then I have a feeling he's probably going to go at like pick 15. And I think that we made that same projection
I'm not saying
that like it's an overthink thing. It's just the reality that we live in.
I just don't think the top of this class is that good where that's going to happen, right? Like, there's some classes where guys will dip, but it's because there's a top-heavy kind of group. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know, Joe. From what I've watched so far, I do not have a ton of high first-round grades right now. I've got three. Right. I don't know. I'm just looking at this class right now. I think that this is going to be perhaps the largest NFL draft class we've ever seen. Okay, it's gonna be the largest NFL draft class we've ever seen. But I don't know if this is gonna be a top heavy group, man. I really don't see that right now, unless a lot of development happens with a lot of players. So I just think that in the end, this is gonna be one of the true first rounders that's gonna go top 10. I just have a feeling that we're mm-hmm. I don't think he's gonna fall much. I just really don't when I watch him.
I just don't think it's a fall though. If he goes pick 12,
right?
I don't think that's a fall. I think that's a really realistic. That's a very high spot for a safety to go these days.
Where did Jamal Adams go? How high did Jamal Adams go?
Yeah, but that was 2015.
I don't know. I need to look this up.
That wasn't that recently.
That one wasn't super recent, but I feel like we've had one that was pretty recently that was pretty dang high as well. I don't know who I'm thinking of though. It's 2014. When did Minka go? Was he like 12 or something?
2017? I think it was the 2017 draft. So that was from the 2025 draft. That was eight drafts ago.
Right. Wait, who are we talking about?
Jamal Adams. I don't think we've had a safety that's gone that high since.
Wait. I'm looking this up. All right. You just need to relax for a second. Come on. Show me the money. I'm not going to find this fast enough. Wait. Nope. Okay. Maybe I did. And I didn't. I lied. I can't find it. Cool.
Told you.
Terrible. Yeah.
BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV for 50%. Off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online where the game starts. Kevin Winston Jr. From Penn State, Ryan.
Yes.
He is interesting when we talk in the scope of this conversation. I have not gotten to a lot of safeties. I chose to watch him because you and I had a little bit of a text exchange talking about how you had heard some folks say that he's a really good player. I had seen him ranked highly on a number of different services. PFF was one of them. I like to use, I think it's Mock Draftable is the one that I like to use. They've got like a consensus big board it's Mock Draft Database.
Yeah, Mock Draftable is where you compare the measurables and all that type of stuff. Yeah.
Right. Mock Draft Database is a really nice tool where there's like a consensus one with whatever top media outlets have out there. And he's ranked pretty highly. I don't know if the ranking necessarily fits. There will not be two safeties in the first round. A little bit of a spoiler alert. 6'2", 204. What background do you got on this kid?
So, Joe, some people don't have him high. I was told that someone thinks that he's better than Malachi Starks, which obviously we'll talk about. I don't want to mention
out him.
I don't want to mention their name.
Somebody I know?
Nah, it's someone on Twitter. It's not like anybody that prominent. But four-star player coming out. He went to DeMatha Catholic, Joe, in Maryland, which is one of the best Catholic schools on the East Coast. They consistently put out a lot of great football players, to say the least. Penn State's had this weird, not weird, Penn State has probably the last 10 or 15 years. I don't know if it even ran back further than that. They've always done really well in the Maryland, D.C. Catholic schools for whatever reason. I know that, what's his name? Who's the head coach for Virginia Tech now? That used to be Brent Pry, right? Brent Pry, who was the defensive coordinator for Penn State. Thank you for saying his name after I said his name. I know what his name is, obviously. Thank you so much. He was the defensive coordinator. Just kidding, man. He was the defensive coordinator for Penn State, and they routinely, dude, just went down to Maryland, D.C., and Virginia and just got some of the best players. Like, that's the pipeline. DMV pretty much up to Penn State. And it continued with Kevin Winston Jr. Now, he was a four-star by On3, 247 Sports, and Rivals, but he wasn't the highest-ranked four-star of all time. He ranked highest by On3, who had him rated as the 212 overall player in his class. Four-star, number 300 overall player on the On3 industry ranking. So, like, not crazy, right? ESPN had him ranked as a three-star. So, he had a good offer list, but his overall recruiting rankings were not fantastic coming out of DeMatha. But, obviously, he has outplayed that recruiting standard at this point. He just had a Big Ten honorable mention season this past year, started all 13 games. Because I think if I remember correctly, when I was looking at his background, I think he played as a freshman, but I don't think it was like anything like stellar, if I remember correctly, right? Like, I think he was just kind of a part-time player. I'm trying to pull it up, but I know he started all 13 games this past year. Yeah, he played in 12 games as a true freshman in 2022, only made 16 tackles as just kind of a role player, contributor, special teamer. This past year was his breakout year, all Big Ten level season. So not a crazy recruiting background, four-star by three different services, DeMatha Catholic, continuing that pipeline, though, of those prominent Catholic schools in the DMV to go up to Penn State and make a lot of plays.
So he's one of these players who didn't play the role last year that he's best suited to succeed in the NFL, which is weird because Manny Diaz is a great defensive coordinator. You would kind of think that he would be aggressive in trying to put him in positions to succeed. Now, we did get glimpses of it and exposure to what that role will be. And I'm talking about the fact that he's got great straight line speed, but doesn't really have the hips or the flexibility to be a free safety. He's got the frame and the size to be, I think, really good in the box. Like, I think he could be a really nice, strong safety because he's a willing tackler. He can be impactful in the run game and he comes down hard. I think what I really loved about him, and I think what's going to make him moderately highly draftable somewhere on day two, Ryan, is the fact that he's what you want to cover tight ends. Like, this is a guy who doesn't need to be super fluid to open up and run with slot receivers or any deep threats over the top, whatever it might be. He is flexible enough and fluid enough to keep up with tight ends. And I think that where the length, the play strength is going to be useful for him in the NFL. There's not a very specific role for him, but I think that there is a role that can be mapped out for this type of player that could get him picked moderately highly.
I think he's going to be kind of volatile as a prospect. I mean, like, because you're right. He could get picked highly. Or who's the Boise State safety that came out last year?
Jael Skinner. You think they're the same? I don't think they're similar at all.
Similar-ish. You don't think so? I mean, like, their strengths are
a little more flexible.
Yeah, sure. But my point is that these big bodied safeties that we love to hype up in summer scouting, because I have am I allowed to say what my grade is on him right now?
Yeah, good, okay. Yeah. So I already said I have his day two guy.
I have a late second round grade on him because the athletic traits are really nice, right? Like, he's 6'2", maybe some change. He's 200 plus pounds. He's strong. He's dense. He has good length. Like, all that stuff is cool, right? And he's explosive, like straight line. I agree. I think that he can get from point A to point B in a straight line really, really well. But the problem is that we talk about these tight end erasers, and I think that he can be that. But we do also need to remember that, like, that's a very simplistic role on the next level, man. And in the game, that's how it is evolved, right? And how the game has evolved now is you're trying to spread out so much that guys are going to get isolated at times, man, in situations that you don't want to be in. And there's going to be times where he's going to be forced to play from depth and to be able to try to make plays with his eyes and recognition and range. And I don't see sideline to sideline range. He could play some too high stuff where he's on the hash, like hash to sideline. He could do that type of stuff, laterally moving. Not a guy that's going to completely open up his hips, though, and work from middle of the field to sideline. Like, I just don't see that type of range here. He can be, in a system, a good player on the next level, in my opinion. But that system is dependent. I don't think this is a scheme versatile player. I think that he's very strong, very good in a straight line, and he doesn't miss tackles at all, which is really nice. Like, he does not miss tackles. He has pretty good instincts in short zone and as a robber role type of situation. I just don't see that. I don't think he's ever going to be a player that works from depth that's going to give you, like, this amazing upside as a coverage player. I do think he's a bit scheme specific with his role in that regard.
Right. He kind of paints for me this picture of a prospect who I think is going to test well. So he'll be one of these guys that's going to be a post-combine darling that's going to get brought up by a lot of people. And I think that I could see myself, if he has a good season this year and he tests well, like me being one of those people that props him up. But to the volatility that you're talking about, there's a chance that he either goes pick 49 in the second round or he doesn't go until the end of the fourth. Like, there's a really good shot that there's that much of a range.
Yeah,
because we know that it's something that I think gets missed a lot when we just evaluate and talk rankings. And when people do these ranking shows, is the NFL, when they're on draft day and they see a guy that they like is sliding, they're going to try and milk that as long as possible. You know, they're going to try and see how much value they can get out of a situation like that. So he could end up sliding to what you're talking about specifically of, he is very role scheme specific.
Right.
I think he could really flourish in the right role like we're talking about here, but it's just very niche. He's a very niche player. It's a very, very interesting, confusing conversation that I don't know if everyone's going to really truly understand.
No, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, like let's put it in the layman's terms, right? Let's put it in the most obvious and easy to understand language. He is a pretty high ceiling player, potentially, that has a pretty low floor, in my opinion. Because, again, in this evolving game, this type of safety is cool and it can work. Ask Kyle Hamilton, right? Like, it can work, but it's just, you need to land in a perfect situation. You need to be with a defensive coordinator that understands how to use you and a guy that can be very understanding of what his role is. Because I don't think, Joe, that he... So, like, Malachi Starks, comparing him to Malachi for a second, right? Malachi, no matter what role I throw him into, no matter what system, what situation, I think he's going to be a good player, at least a good player, maybe a great player, maybe an elite player. This kid could either be very good in a certain situation, or he's going to be a below average starter in another. Like, I don't think there's a lot of, I don't think there's a lot of in between, man. Like, I just think the volatility here is something that we need to be worried about a little bit. You need to understand that this kid is not going to be for everyone. And that's okay, because it only takes one at the end of the day. But that one is going to be very important for a guy like Kevin Winston.
At Joe DeLeon, at Rise and Draft, at NFL Prospects Pod on Twitter. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Drop a comment on what you think about these two prospects. And then leave us a 5-star review on audio wherever you're tuning in. We'll talk to you later, folks. Enjoy the rest of your week.